President Donald Trump picking Pam Bondi to be the attorney general is an excellent, excellent pick. I'm going to forget that whole Matt Gaetz thing ever happened.
It makes you wonder, why not Pam Bondi the first time through?
Well, we did a whole bunch of conspiracy theories on that yesterday. But we
talked about the possible Machiavellian play going on here when that was offered.
And also Gaetz trying to get out of all the problems he has. There were a whole bunch of theories we had going on with all that. But picking Pam Bondi as the attorney general is an excellent, excellent pick, especially for those of us out here in the Pacific Northwest who aren't used to seeing law and order anymore, aren't used to seeing justice anymore. Let me give you an example. We've discussed this week about how pro-Hamas activists bragged about vandalizing the Seattle home of Amazon CEO Andy Jassy. When I reached out to the Seattle Police Department, nobody had even filed a report about it. Not a single report about the CEO of Amazon's house being vandalized with anti-Semitic graffiti. Oh, by the way, had no idea the dude was a member of the tribe. By that, I mean a Jew. Had no idea. They don't even have a report on file for this. Never mind investigating, never mind suspects. Now, apparently this happened back on Halloween. Nobody did anything about it. No suspects, no nothing. So a lot of us wonder, is this ever going to end? And a lot of us who are more conservative leaning, even more moderate Democrats, are saying maybe we need federal intervention. And I've been saying all week how it kills me as a conservative to be asking for federal intervention, that we need a strong U.S. attorney to be appointed by President Trump for Seattle. So hopefully some of these things around here get solved. Here's another example. We know that the CEO of Amazon's house was vandalized. Well, President Anna Marie Hoochie-Coochie from University of Washington, both her private residence and her university residence were both vandalized by the Hamasniks. No suspects, no investigation. So again, I reached out to the Seattle Police Department. We're not currently involved with the investigation. I reached out to the Washington State Patrol. We're not currently involved with the investigation. I reached out to the FBI. The FBI cannot comment on any investigation, not investigation. It turns out, do you know who's investigating this? UW Campus Police. Wow. One step up from the mall cops are the ones who are investigating this. And I love
Paul Blart?
I don't know if they have the little scooter things. I don't know if they have the Segways. But you have three, because they also got her car, let's call it three major incidents against the president of University of Washington, who there is no love lost between us. As a matter of fact, I know that for a fact because I've seen her emails and I see what they write about me. But you have these three incidents against her. You got the incidents against the Amazon CEO, and nobody's even investigating. Nobody. So somebody like Pam Bondi, who can call out what's going on these university campuses, like here's one for you. Did you know that the University of Washington was ranked among the top anti-Semitic colleges, not in the area, in the entire United States of America?
UW always likes to brag about, you know, how they rank against other schools.
Well, I mean, in U.S. News World Report, they were only number 7 in the top 10. Here, they're like number 1 or 2. So, bravo. Nice job, University of Washington. We're number 1. Woo! They received the dubious distinction of being one of the most anti-Jewish colleges in the entire U.S. The group Stop Anti-Semitism's new report, titled Anti-Semitism on College and University Campuses Report Card, slammed University of Washington for failing to address rising anti-Semitism on campus that has erupted in the wake of the October 7th attacks. UW received an F grade in the report for many problems, including the administration's failure to condemn the anti-Semitism and a federal complaint filed against the college due to anti-Semitic incidents that targeted students and Jewish faculty members. According to Stop Anti-Semitism, UW failed to act as Gaza encampments sprung up on campus last spring, and instead of protecting Jewish students who are being blocked from parts of campus, the administration sent the campus police to protect the campers. So tell me, the administration that's in charge of the campus police. You think they're going to investigate whatever happened at Anna Marie's residence, whatever happened at the university residence that she gets while she's president? No, of course not. These are the same people who surrendered a building on campus to the protesters. So here we are asking for federal intervention. We know that our new attorney general-elect, Nick Brown, ain't going to do anything about this. We know that Turd Ferguson ain't going to do anything about this.
Turd Ferguson.
Exactly him. We know they're not going to do anything. Is Pam Bondi the one who's actually going to step in? Here's an interview she did on Newsmax not too long ago.
Pam, Democrats like Alan Dershowitz have sounded the alarm over the growing virulent strain of Jew haters in the Democrat Party. It appears their agents in the unfair press are carrying that water. It is dangerous, is it not?
Yeah, it's very dangerous, Chris. It's extremely dangerous. And, you know, you look around, the thing that's really the most troubling to me, these students in universities in our country, whether they're here as Americans or if they're here on student visas, and they're out there saying, I support Hamas. You and I have seen that on all of these television shows. Frankly, they need to be taken out of our country, or the FBI needs to be interviewing them right away when they're saying, I support Hamas. I am Hamas. That's not saying I support all these poor Palestinians who are trapped in Gaza. That's not what they're saying. So I think their student visas need to be revoked. I think we need to reinstate President Trump's travel ban immediately. There's a lot of things that can be done to stop this. But yeah, the anti-Semitism that is rampant throughout this country now. And it's truly, truly heartbreaking to see what's happening to all of our Jewish friends in this country by really just, I think, a lot of ignorant kids and students and people who don't understand that Hamas equals terrorism, even worse, at its worst.
There's only one thing I disagree with. I think there's plenty that completely understand that Hamas equals terrorism. I think there's a lot of people who don't understand that these aren't college kids like in the 1960s burning bras on the quad of University of Washington. I don't think they understand that Hamas and other terror groups have spent so much money investing in American college campuses to brainwash generations of followers, and that's what we're seeing. What, you think you're entitled to a U.S. education, to an American education? You're not entitled to jack squat if you're not a citizen of this country. You are a guest here, and we're being very, very nice in allowing you to be here. So if you want to be here, it's probably not the best idea for you to run around supporting a terrorist organization. And the weak-kneed, completely coward-like, not coward-like, actual cowards of the University of Washington administration, Columbia administration, Chuck Schumer, who just bend over and say, sure, terrorists, take control of our younger generation. Take control of our kids. Brainwash them, not just to hate Jews, but to hate America. Sure, go ahead and do it. We're now seeing that the International Criminal Court has issued arrest warrants for Israeli leadership, including Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant, who's their defense minister, for war crimes. Hang on a second here. You're issuing arrest warrants for the leaders of the only democracy in the Middle East, but you're not issuing them for the heads of Hamas and Hezbollah. Sorry, I forgot. They're all super dead right now. Operation Grim Beeper took care of... Exactly. Operation Grim Beeper took care of everybody in Hezbollah.
Pop, pop.
Exactly. Another one, right? And then what happened? You took care of all the heads of Hamas. There's nobody left to arrest. Oh, wait. Yeah, there are. They were all hiding out in Qatar. Qatar just said, get the hell out of our country before Israel comes for you. And now they're hiding out in Turkey. Turkey's a NATO member. And we're letting them have the heads of Hamas hang out. How much money does the U.S. government give to Turkey? Tens of millions of dollars? Hundreds of million dollars? How much do we give to NATO? And yet we're on board with them sheltering the people who are responsible for the deaths of not just 1,200 Israelis, but 44 Americans. 100 people are still hostages in Gaza, including 7 Americans. And we're cool with this? Now, who's running this case for the International Criminal Court? And can they actually do anything? Well, that's a complicated thing. Let's say Bibi Netanyahu leaves Israel and heads to Washington, D.C. Is he going to be arrested the second he touches down at Dulles Airport? No. But Justin Trudeau, who is desperate to be reelected, says he's going to arrest Netanyahu, and then they're going to give him to the International Criminal Court at The Hague because, quote, that's who we are as Canadians. So you support terrorists?
Sorry, Bibi.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on, guys. Really? Justin Trudeau is so desperate to win his next election, he thinks this is going to win him points. He doesn't realize that this is what's actually going to happen is cost him votes.
Now that the ICC has issued warrants for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his former defense minister, Yoav Gallant, Canadian law enforcement is obligated to arrest them should they come to Canada. Will you allow that to happen, or will you step in to prevent an arrest?
First of all, as Canada has always said, it's really important that everyone abide by international law. This is something we've been calling on from the beginning of the conflict. We are one of the founding members of the International Criminal Court, the International Court of Justice. We stand up for international law, and we will abide by all the regulations and rulings of the international courts. This is just who we are as Canadians.
That's who we are as Canadians. We're going to go against democracy, and we're going to support the terrorists. So who's actually prosecuting this case? You might know the name, Amal Clooney. Does that sound familiar to you? That is George Clooney's wife. Let's not forget why Joe Biden didn't run for president. So Amal Clooney is working for the International Criminal Court, brings these charges on behalf of terrorist-aligned countries against Israel at The Hague. And then Joe Biden says, this is ridiculous. Today I support Israel. Maybe tomorrow I'll support Hamas. But today I'm supporting Israel. And this is ridiculous. So George Clooney goes, that's it. You went against my wife. I want you out of the race. And writes that op-ed for the New York Times about how Joe Biden isn't up to being president of the United States anymore. So what happens? The entire elite left says, oh, George Clooney's mad. Quick, the actor is mad. Quick, the worst Batman is mad. We have to do something about this. Dr. Ross from ER is mad. We must solve this right away. So what do? They give Biden the boot. They put in Kamala Harris. They try to kiss up to terrorists the entire campaign. It is so refreshing to have somebody whose priorities are lined up in the right direction. Here's Pam Bondi again.
And I think it's a strong, not only show of strength, but also unity. And Israel is one of our, if not our greatest ally in the world. And I'm so proud of what happened today. I've been to Israel twice as Attorney General, and Jerusalem is the capital of Israel.
I love this woman. If I wasn't married, I'd ask her on a date. I mean, at this point, I am thrilled with this pick. Plus, she is also a master of law. Now, we're all excited about the international stuff, but what we really want is for her to enforce the law locally. How about somebody bring racketeering charges against Antifa and BLM and the Hamasniks and all these organizations? Let's not forget that right here in Western Washington, we have the Palestine Chronicle, a U.S.-based 501c3 nonprofit whose journalists, and I'm using air quotes for those of you watching over on Rumble, Facebook, X, and YouTube, that these journalists were holding hostages in their family homes in Gaza, even though congressmen called for investigations, even though the Jewish community demanded investigations, nothing, nada, zip from this administration. What was this administration doing the whole time? Going after its enemies, targeting Donald Trump, targeting conservatives, targeting parents who are protesting the ideological radicalization of their children at public schools. That's who the Biden-Harris administration was going after. as opposed to the people who spent an entire summer burning down our cities, as opposed to the people now who are discriminating against different minority groups on campus. It's not just Jews. It's Christians who support the Jews. It's normal Americans who just want to go to class. It's about time we had the adults back in charge. And I'm so happy with every pick Trump makes. The only one I wasn't so happy about was Matt Gaetz. And now I'm like, Matt who? I don't even know who that dude is. No,
he was a bad egg.
Exactly right. Oh, yeah. Just a little reminder, my friends. He may have resigned from Congress, but here's the thing. He got reelected in the last cycle, which means he gets sworn back in if he wants it with the new Congress. He's not out. Now, you may say you want him in Congress. You may disagree with me on my feelings about Matt Gaetz. Zach and I have personal interactions with Matt Gaetz, which, shall we just say, were less than flattering.
Not wholesome.
Not wholesome. We try to be a family show here. So we'll save you some of the details. But I just wish Trump had picked
him. It was about his hair. What are you talking about?
Okay, well, there's the incident you were with me for, and there's the incident you weren't with me for.
Okay,
you remember
okay,
that? Okay. Yeah, exactly. So, yes, there was the hair incident and the other incident. But I am just over the moon that he picked Pam Bondi. Wish he had done it from the beginning. You disagree with me? You think Gaetz was the better pick, or you want to weigh in on Pam Bondi? Give us a call or a text on the Warrior Injury Law Studio line, 206-421-5757. Welcome back to The Commute with Carlson. This is Ari Hoffman in for John. John should be back next week. You can catch my show every single weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. right here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Phil, what's going on in the dark corners of the interweb?
Well, a lot of the political talk about Pam Bondi now, the nominee for Attorney General after Matt Gaetz withdrew yesterday, the social media sweep sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort. I was skimming through social media, and here's, I think, maybe the most perfect reaction to the Pam Bondi selection. Somebody who's a conservative MAGA fan says, "This is fantastic news. Democrats won't be able to Christine Blasey Ford, Florida AG Pam Bondi."
Oh, no. You mean the gal who looks like Garth from Wayne's World? That one? Yes.
Party on.
Yeah. Exactly. Party on is right.
Although.
That's what Matt Gaetz
says. Although, you know, if anyone can Christine Blasey Ford, Pam Bondi, it would probably be the Democrats, right? The Congressional Democrats.
They're already trying to take down Linda McMahon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can't take down Linda McMahon.
Now, we have 200-something thousand Puget Sound Energy customers still without power, about 14,000 Snohomish PUD customers without power, a couple thousand Seattle City Light customers without power, and Puget Sound Energy has managed to put a pretty decent-sized dent in it. It was 300,000 yesterday morning when I was sitting in for John, and it's now a little over 200,000. They've still got a long way to go, hoping to get a lot of this power restored by tomorrow, or almost all of it.
Yeah,
and I'm looking at the power outage map this morning. Issaquah Highlands, Sammamish Plateau, still completely out over there.
Yeah, but we all drove in this morning, right? We all drove in this morning, so we all saw what it's doing outside right now. Yeah. This isn't going to make things better. Right. We've still got this bomb cyclone here.
Yeah, the winds are supposed to start settling down here in the next couple of hours, and I think from the weather forecasts of where this low-pressure system was pushing up the Washington coast towards Vancouver Island, it's now going to start to shift a lot of that wind from a southern, from an eastern direction where it's been overnight to a southern direction as we get closer to daybreak. So with all of that being said, knowing that we still have a whole lot of power outages, Todd Myers at the Washington Policy Center posted this yesterday. Right before sundown, he wrote, "The temperature tonight in King County will probably be around 39 degrees, and most of these areas are still without electric power. You have two groups, Climate Solutions and then Climate Solutions supporter named Autumn Gales, are going to sue to overturn the results of the November election regarding Initiative 2066, which allowed choice in selecting natural gas for new construction, right? So you've got Climate Solutions that's going to sue to overturn the will of the voters on I-2066 and make sure these areas don't have natural gas heat, even as a backup, when the power goes out."
Right.
So just a friendly reminder there about what the Jay Inslee wing of the Democratic Party, Climate Solutions, the climate activist groups want to do to try and nullify the vote, the public vote, statewide vote on I-2066.
It's not just Jay Inslee. It's Turd Ferguson. Yeah. It's Nick Brown. It's all of, it's Joe Wynn. It's Emily Randall, your new congresswoman. It's all of these fools. And think about this, my friends. They don't want propane either. So right? those of you who don't have electricity.
That would not be allowed
right,
either.
No propane. So that means those of you who are like, well, thank God I got my barbecue. Mm-hmm. Or whatever the case may be.
Your propane and propane accessories.
Exactly right. That would be the end of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A guy on social media who's, a contributor at MSNBC is what his profile says. He's host of something called No Lie with Brian Tyler Cohen, and I see him pop up on MSNBC from time to time. But he's very proud. He has 3 billion views on YouTube, and he had a New York Times best-selling book at some point called Shameless. But Brian Tyler Cohen is chiming in on mass deportations that the Trump administration or President Trump has been talking about before and after the election. And Tyler Cohen writes, would love to hear from a Republican worried about food or housing costs, how exactly deporting 10 million people who grow and pick our food and build our houses is going to lower food or housing costs.
Well, that's one of the most racist things I've ever heard. Soft bigotry of low expectations.
Little presumptuous there. But this is kind of the myopia of the political left that can't see the forest for the trees when it comes to the numbers game of illegal aliens in the United States. Of course, if there is less competition for housing, then the cost of housing will go down. More housing will become available.
Yes.
Rents will have to adjust as landlords aren't either getting federal money to Section 8 subsidize housing and things like that. The concept of he's saying something about worried about picking crops or food production and things like that. You never know. I mean, there's always the opportunity of establishing in this whole concept of mass deportation, work visa programs and things like that.
We have those programs, though. If people want to come work here, they can come work here. But here's something else. The more money we spend on social programs means that's more money we're borrowing because we don't actually have it.
Yeah.
What it does is it devalues the dollar, causes more inflation.
Yeah, your dollar does not buy as much. But there's just this defeatism on the political left about trying to find real solutions here, even after the results of the election that showed the Democrats' way forward was rejected by voters.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think they've learned their lesson, which is fine by me, because then they'll keep losing elections, which means more conservative victory. We got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues. You're listening to Ari and for John on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Welcome back to The Commute with Carlson. This is Ari Hoffman filling in for John on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Remember, you can always catch my show from 3 to 6 p.m. right here every single weekday afternoon. Well, the city of Bellevue has declared a local emergency to help the city respond and recover from major damage caused by the windstorm. I woke up this morning, and I was up pretty early today, still dark outside, and I look out from my house in Seward Park, Mercer Island, still the only people with power, seem to be people with generators. I could see Newcastle behind it is still dark. I see over 250,000 people still don't have power in our area. And I got an email at the end of my show yesterday from one of our listeners who said the following. I live on the east side, and the predictions of getting power back by Saturday at midnight seems a remote possibility. I work for Verizon, and my coworkers throughout the country can't believe how long it is taking to restore power. As of Thursday night, the Redmond City Core, the Evergreen Emergency Room, is still running on a diesel engine, and the electricity is still so spotty right in the downtown area. The same for Kirkland's City Core. And that's not even talking about houses. I see no power crews out yesterday or today in my drive around. I've seen Xfinity and Ziply crews, but no power workers yesterday and today. There were a few more blocks improvements in Kirkland, but in Kirkland, that's just measured in feet, not miles. So there must be workers, but not the army they need to deploy. People that live further out may have another week without power, and these areas are not rural, but suburban. I hear from Puget Sound Energy friends that they fired many of their linemen and went to some outsourcer for linemen, which is claiming to be one of the issues here. Also, Puget Sound Energy is literally training on-the-spot workers brought in from other states. Why weren't they staged beforehand? Why was there not enough workers by a huge factor? I hear they now have 3 times the number of usual workers, but that's still a failure. cutting the restoration time in half is still going to be a long time compared to other cities in the country. It's still really wrong when it takes a week to get power when you live in the city. In Florida, New York, and New Jersey, the governors and the mayors make a big show of pre-storm staging. Where is Inslee? Dow? Even the mayor of Redmond? What happened with Puget Sound Energy? My coworkers hit by the recent hurricane in Florida were down 2 days max, and they don't live downtown. They literally can't believe how long the power is out here. The East Coast, North and South, has events all the time. There is no ice and snow or flood to complicate matters. Things seem extremely off. And why wasn't the National Guard called in to clear roads and help speed things along? Where is Dow or Inslee? When there's a big storm elsewhere, the government holds daily press events. Is this another rhetorical question? Now, that's from somebody who works for Verizon. That's from somebody who has friends in the industry. And I'll tell you, while I've been driving around, I haven't seen any of the utility trucks anywhere.
Yeah, I drove out on Wednesday to East King County, and I saw a lot of crews working, but I guess, you know, they'd probably be some of the county crews, but a lot of private tree cutting, you know, services.
Sure. Well,
were the other ones that I saw a lot.
We've had a lot of listeners sending us pictures of the things that are down near where they live. And actually, I'm reaching out to our listeners right now. If you still don't have power, let us know. 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Because now they are estimating that Saturday at the earliest, my kids still don't have school. A lot of schools, a lot of kids still don't have school. And while all this is going on, where's Inslee? Where's Dow Constantine? Where's Bruce Harrell?
I was kind of checking the Inslee Twitter feed thinking, oh, you know, maybe he'd say something about thanks to our tree, cutting bucket truck crews and any of the transmission line crews that are trying to get things put back together. And I think finally he said something yesterday.
Okay.
Late yesterday.
So let's go over to the interwebs for a second. Hang on. Inslee, let's see what he said yesterday, shall we? Let's take a little peek around. Congratulations to Judge Pennell on her new appointment to Washington's Eastern District. Oh, okay. I don't think that's really. Hang on. Here we go. I got it.
Super important news there.
Super important news. Here we go. Thanks to utility crews who are working 24/7 to restore power. Okay. Bravo. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it. The day before, thanks to the Chips and Science Act, we have the opportunity to supercharge our semiconductor industry. Too bad there's nothing to power it because there's no electricity. Supercharge. Wow. Is he still in Baku, which, by the way, is a planet in Star Trek? Is he still? Can he stay there?
On his way back from the climate conference?
Has he moved to Idaho yet? Has that happened? Meanwhile, while we are joking about this, people are suffering. And let's not forget that Democrats are gearing up to pull back I-2066, which was us voting to keep natural gas. And they're going to fight as hard as they can to ban natural gas. And while all this is going on, my friends, we have all the street people also. Now, we know that the people on the streets, we have drug addicts, we have criminals, we have people with mental health issues, but we also have some people who just can't make decisions for their own and make bad life decisions. So you ever notice that before a snowstorm, they somehow manage to get every single homeless person off the streets and into shelter every single time? This time, the King County Regional Homeless Authority, and we read this letter on air for you just the other day when it first came out, wasn't getting people off the streets. Instead, you know what they were doing? They were giving them instructions about how to tie down their tents in the storm and telling them, hey, why don't you put your tents behind a big rock to shield you from the wind, or put it next to a building to shield you from the wind, not, hey, let's get you off the streets. So I reached out to the King County Regional Homeless Authority, wondering why they didn't get people off the streets. Here's what they said. Our current severe weather policy addresses cold weather and participation, heat and wildfire smoke. Tuesday afternoon, we sent out tips about how to stay safe during the windstorm with a link to shelters in the area. We're currently holding internal meetings to discuss how best to respond to windstorms since this was outside the normal weather patterns we experience. Hang on. Why couldn't you just enact the cold weather policy? Why couldn't you just say, hey, we got a plan for snow? I know it's not snowing, but you know what? It's still not safe to be outside. So how about we get all these people inside? You need meetings to address that. Why can't you say, snow activation plan, let's go. Whatever we do when there's a deep freeze, let's get everybody inside. But this is how incompetent the King County Regional Homelessness Authority is. They say, yeah, let's just keep everybody outside. And we only have a plan for cold weather. We only have a plan for precipitation. We only have a plan for heat. We only have a plan for wildfire smoke. Are you kidding me? That would be like the city of Seattle saying, well, we know that the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, but we only have a plan for the WNBA to have a parade. We can't figure out how to do a parade for the Seahawks. Okay, what kind of stupidity is this? The King County Regional Homeless Authority needs to be disbanded. How many more millions of dollars do we need to spend on this stupid agency that accomplishes absolutely nothing? Absolutely nothing. Oh, yeah. Saw this notice the other day. You ready for this one? Eastside Fire agencies are now urging generator safety amid post-bomb cyclone power outages. What are they worried about? You're going to light fire to your house with your generator. You're going to have that thing running and you're going to try pouring gasoline in that sucker while it's running. While we still have gasoline, by the way.
Maybe we should use electric generators.
That'll do it. That's
battery
a good idea.
Battery-powered generators.
I think that's a great idea, Zach. Absolutely. Especially with all the ability to recharge those batteries with the lack of power at all.
I can hear the cheers going up right now in Issaquah and Sammamish about the electric.
You ever notice that Tesla, when they send out a service vehicle, it's always like a Ford? You ever notice their Tesla service vehicles are not Teslas? Just putting that out there for a minute. So we saw that video yesterday of the people lining up with their electric cars to get a charge at the Northgate Mall.
There's been
other videos like that that have since come out as well, because all the rich people with all their EVs don't have power at their houses and they can't charge their cars. So they're worried about people with their generators. How about the homeless people with the RVs and their generators? How long until we start having the spontaneous combustion of the RVs and the tents? We already had one homeless person die because a tree fell on them because they were outside in the middle of 70-mile-an-hour winds. And today, they're expecting 50-mile-an-hour winds. And the King County Regional Homeless Authority has done absolutely nothing to address this. How much longer are we going to let this nonsense go on for, where we don't take care of this problem? How many more millions of dollars are we going to spend? You know what I would love for Pam Bondi to do? I would love for an audit, an investigation into where taxpayer funds are going here in Washington when they spend $1 million per person getting people off the streets, when the state government, Jay Inslee's plan, spent over $1 million per person. And guess what? Most of those people went back to the streets. Who's going to be looking out for us? I can't believe I'm advocating so hard for federal intervention. Got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues. Our buddy Lars Larson will be dropping by to tell us what's coming up on his show today. You're listening to Ari Hoffman in for John on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Welcome back to The Commute with Carlson. This is Ari sitting in for John. And one of the advantages of sitting in for John is I get to talk to my buddy Lars Larson. I get to lead off for him today. That's quite the switch. You can catch his show every single weekday from noon to 3. Lars, what do you got coming up today?
Happy First Amendment Friday. Well, of course, we open up the phone lines, and First Amendment Fridays, we've been now celebrating, I think, 25 years, and it's great because I get all kinds of interesting things that are called in by people, but I've got a lot of things. We're going to be talking about appointments, of course, the nominations by President Trump, which are going to be challenging because the Democrats are going to fight them every step of the way. But the laugh, and you may have already played this for your audience this morning on John's show, is the liberals who last night were saying, well, Pam Bondi is dangerous but effective. In other words, they're saying they can't fault her competence, so the only thing they don't like about her is that she will be effective. As for whether or not Congressman Gates or former Congressman Gates getting the boot is fair or not, I worry about that because we don't know whether he did what he's accused of doing or not. I do know that the Biden DOJ decided not to prosecute him, which kind of suggests that the evidence wasn't there. But hey, if we're going to run everything on rumors and allegations, okay, that's an interesting standard to run on, because there are lots and lots of those on both sides of the political aisle, both Democrats and Republicans. So is that the way they want to go?
Yeah, because if that's the way they want to go, I mean, I heard a rumor about a woman named Tara Reid and Joe Biden. Should we start there?
Yeah, well, and there's one where it seems to be well-founded. Or how about the horny hick from Arkansas, the unindicted rapist of Juanita Broderick, a story that has far more substance mm-hmm. to it than the allegations against Gates. And you say he was never prosecuted for Juanita Broderick's rape, nor was he ever indicted for it, nor did he ever apologize for it. Now, Juanita Broderick is still around. I've talked to her before, not all the time, but she's active on social media. And she had a very good case that she was raped. I mean, full-on raped by the then Attorney General of Arkansas, the aforementioned horny hick, Bill Clinton. And no justice at all. Except today with hashtag MeToo, I guess, depending on who you are and what your circumstances are, they can go back decades on you. And the victim is always to be believed unless she is or he is accusing a Democrat, in which case nothing happens.
Right, because if you're a Democrat, you can storm the Capitol and nothing will happen because you oppose a Supreme Court justice pick. But
don't wait till J6 this year or
right.
next year.
Oh, wait a second. Do you think Pramila Jayapal is going to try and lead an insurrection and stop
this woman, Pramila Jayapal, who's lying about literally tens of thousands of missing children, saying they're not lost. They were handed off to some adults, which were barely identified. You know, because, Ari, ask yourself this. When they had something like 85,000 kids come across the border in the last 3 years, mm-hmm. and they were handed off to somebody who showed up and said, I'm her uncle, or I'm his father or grandfather or whatever. Well, we handed them off to family members. Did you do any background checking at all and vet these people as to who they were? And then when ICE calls the number to check on how the kid's doing, and nobody answers the phone, they go, oh, the kid must be all right. That's the conclusion of the Biden regime?
And also, I know that anytime I took my kids when they were not teenagers, when they were still like little kids, like 10 or 11, to the airport, the amount of paperwork I had to fill out to get those kids on the plane, the yep. amount of paperwork, the IDs the people had to have to pick them up. But you know what? If you're one of Biden's illegal border crossers, no problem. Lars Larson, you can catch a show today from 12 to 3 p.m. right here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Lars, have a great day, buddy.
You as well, buddy.
Got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues. This is Ari sitting in for John on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Welcome to The Commute with Carlson. This is Ari Hoffman, your afternoon drive host, filling in for John today. You can catch my show from 3 to 6 p.m. right here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. It looks like our friends on the left have not learned their lesson. They have not figured out why they lost the most recent election. And me, I'm thrilled. Because the crazier they get, the more they double down on insanity, the more elections they're going to lose. So, Pramila Jayapal, the representative from Gaza, you know, the one who represents Hamas from our very own Washington. Pramila Jayapal is all mad. She's big mad. Why? Because the Trump administration and Republicans are threatening to take away the nonprofit status of organizations that help terrorists. She's mad that they're threatening to take away funding from schools that don't protect minority groups on campuses. Do you know that last night there was yet another issue at Columbia? Do you know that right now at Sarah Lawrence University, there's a Gaza encampment that has seized control of buildings on campus? But Pramila Jayapal thinks this is perfectly fine because she's the representative from Gaza, not from Seattle. This is her speaking yesterday.
I rise in strong opposition to this bill, giving Donald Trump and any future president unfettered power to punish civil society groups, news outlets, hospitals, and universities with zero due process. This bill is an authoritarian play by Republicans to expand the sweeping powers of the executive branch to go after political enemies and stifle political dissent. It allows Republicans to empower Donald Trump to go after enemies at will, to put out of business hospitals that provide reproductive care to women, to label environmental advocates as eco-terrorists, to target humanitarian humanitarian organizations or the foundations that support them, to punish news organizations and think tanks that put out research or policies that contradict Donald Trump, to obliterate civil liberties groups who seek to protect those very liberties from authoritarianism. Americans want checks and balances, not a blank check for any president to label anyone as a terrorist without evidence. Providing material support to terrorist groups is already a crime and can be criminally prosecuted. But this bill removes all due process protections. That's exactly why the same bill failed on the House floor last week. But instead of moving on and taking on the real economic issues that are facing Americans today, or working simply to fund the government, Republicans are fixated on giving unchecked powers to the Trump administration. Welcoming, weaponizing the government is the foundation of Trump's Project 2025. It is step one of Trump's project in action. With this bill, the only guardrail against authoritarian abuse to any voice of dissent to his agenda will be Trump's imagination. Vote no on abusive, unchecked presidential powers. I did last week, I will this week, and any other time it comes up.
Pramila, you're boring. You're boring. Trump's a threat to democracy. He's going to go after the children. He's going to take away the funding of the hospitals. Oh, my God. You're boring. You're boring. All right. You want due process for the universities before we pull federal funding? No problem. Let's bring the University of Washington to federal criminal court for everything they've done. Let's bring out all the administrators, and then you know what? Let's bring out all the politicians who did nothing about what was happening on campus. You know what? Let's do that for the University of Washington. Better idea. Let's do it for Columbia. Let's bring out Chucky Schumer, who told the administration to just keep their heads down. I got an idea here. Let's bring out all your activist groups that are funded by left-wing donors. Let's bring all them to federal court and find out how many of them were supporting terrorism on campuses. Or let's find out how many of these groups were bringing illegal immigrants across the border. You want transparency? You want a fair, open process? Let's do it. Seriously, let's do this right now. I'm excited to watch all this happen, because then we get to find out about people like the Chicago Teachers Union, who wrapped in keffiyehs did this yesterday.
It is time to make sure that we protect our communities and our city from the policy that is coming. I want to leave you with the words of James Baldwin. The children are always ours, every single one of them, all over the globe. And I am beginning to suspect that whoever is incapable of recognizing this may be incapable of morality.
So the children are ours, you say, is while you're wrapped in keffiyehs and while you're supporting terrorist organizations? That's fun. What else pearls of wisdom did you have?
That is who we are fighting for, CTU. From Gaza to Little Village to Altgeld and all over the country, the children are all ours, every single one of them, and it is our duty to fight for them.
Oh, please keep doing this, because you know what? It's going to lead to more places putting in school choice. It's going to lead to more places putting in voucher systems. It's going to cost you more elections. Let's not forget the Chicago Teachers Union during COVID. They're the ones who were hanging out in the Bahamas while telling everybody not to go back to work because it was too dangerous. You know, as long as these lefties keep doubling down on the insanity, we're going to keep winning. Now, Joy Behar and the ladies of The View are blaming Joe Rogan for the fact that Donald Trump won. And I think they've really jumped the shark on this one.
But I think that that's why people like our show, because they know that we are checked by ABC News. But
we're checked by everybody.
Yeah. I mean, if we're wrong, we have, you know, the legal note here. Mm-hmm. We went from Walter Cronkite, mm-hmm. basically, to this guy, Joe Rogan, who believes in dragons. He believes in dragons?
Did you triple-force that?
Yes, I did. And he also thinks that dragons, like, I guess, like dinosaur-y type of animals, yeah. roamed the earth when people did. So this is the type of really, really bad information that's going out there.
Okay, let's break this down for a second, shall we? Because this, when I saw Joe Rogan changed his profile on social media to Dragon Believer, I started cracking up. And I'm like, what the hell? What fresh hell is this? What is going on? So the ladies of The View are mad that for 2 days in a row, they got told by their own legal department, hey, guys, you can't just say Republicans are all a bunch of sexual abusers without any evidence whatsoever. And they had to issue 2 legal notes so that they wouldn't get sued. And this was on air, and Sunny Hostin had to do it both times because she's one of the craziest ones. So now they're all mad that nobody's fact-checking the internet. All right. I went and looked up this Joe Rogan segment where he talked about the dragons. Would you like to know what he said? He didn't say he believed. They were discussing Game of Thrones because it's Joe Rogan. I don't watch Game of Thrones. I know there's a lot of naked people. I know there's a lot of dragons. Not my jam, but okay. So what they were doing was discussing whether or not dragons ever actually existed. And what they came up with was there weren't fire-breathing dragons, but there may have been prehistoric lizards that flew. Prehistoric lizards that flew. Hang on a second. I think they made 6 movies about prehistoric lizards that flew. Yeah, they're called Jurassic Park because they're called dinosaurs. That's what they're getting all worked up about. You guys keep doing this, you're gonna keep losing. And that's fine by me. Now, Seth Meyers, who used to be funny when he was on Saturday Night Live, when they gave him his own show, he stopped being funny. But I saw this clip going around. He had former NBC anchor Brian Williams on the show. And Brian Williams is actually mad that the Democrats keep losing, and he's calling them out for their own insanity.
I think it's insulting when members of the working class, which the Democratic Party has lost entirely in our lifetimes, to insist the economy is doing great. A 12-pack of Bounty is $40. Rich folks don't feel that. Poor folks already switched to Sparkle during the COVID, during the lockdown. And I think telling them that the NASDAQ is gangbusters is further insulting. It's insulting. I think the biggest unforced error of the Biden administration by far was the border. To tell people it's not a problem is insulting. For the working class to see incoming migrants getting welcome bags, debit cards, and motel rooms is probably insulting as well. So there's a lot of work to do. You know, it was when they handed out camo hats that said Harris Walls, and the Democrats were, they were kind of charmed by that. Their party has gone quinoa, and the rest of America's eating at Cracker Barrel. And so it was kind of an ironic use of something millions of Americans put on their heads to start their day every day. Yeah, they need to reach out to America again and be less about what's called suicidal empathy, worrying so much about minority groups in society and in your party that you win the argument, but you don't win the election.
You don't win the election is what he said there. And he's 100% right. They've embraced all these crazy causes, like men who want to use women's bathrooms. So this whole Sarah McBride thing, whose name is actually Tim McBride, and he likes wearing dresses. He's the first trans representative in Congress. And he wanted to use the ladies' room, even though he's a dude. Nancy Mace said, no way in hell. And Speaker Mike Johnson shut down the whole thing. And this was also the left could say the right is racist. Keep doing the stuff, guys. Really, keep doing the stuff. Because there are unisex bathrooms in the Capitol, which the dude could have used if they really wanted to. But instead, no. They said, I want to go with the girls. You know, when I was in like fourth grade, I thought it'd be cool to go to the girls' bathroom with the girls. But you know what? You grow out of that phase when you realize that ain't where you're supposed to be. Then you get to high school and you want to go for other reasons. Then you realize, hey, the girls got couches in their bathrooms.
What is this, the movie Porky's?
Exactly.
What's going on
like
here?
That's where this is literally what it is, except now they're saying, oh, no, that's acceptable behavior. AOC is now saying, hey, you know what? You Republicans, you're a bunch of bigots because you want girls to be safe in the girls' bathroom.
It's disgusting. And everybody, no matter how you feel on this issue, should reject it completely. What are they doing? They're doing this so that Nancy Mace can make a buck and send a text and fundraise off an email. They're not doing this to protect people. They're endangering women. They're endangering girls of all kinds. And everybody should reject it. It's gross. Thank you.
Thank you.
Which women are being endangered by this? I would say more the women with the dudes in the bathrooms are endangered. What is a woman? Do we really need to have this conversation again, AOC? Oh, and by the way, AOC sent out a fundraising letter off this. So
yeah, that was pretty
wild,
like, for her to go that path.
To say, yeah, don't fundraise off these things. Do you know the only people I'm still getting texts from for fundraising are Democrats? So Kamala Harris is trying to pay off her $20 million campaign debt, and I keep getting the texts going, we can turn the election around, we're still counting votes. Actually, they stopped today. Do you know why they stopped today? Because the dude in Pennsylvania, Bob Casey, who is the Democrat senator, finally admitted that he lost. So they realize they can't carry that grift anymore, saying, oh, we're counting these illegitimate votes.
I thought you were reading a Joe Kent text.
No. Yeah, seriously, guys, this time around, can we get some candidates, some fresh candidates around here, some fresh faces around here, and try and take back some of these seats? Can we have some people do ballot harvesting? Can we have some people go out and register voters? I mean, I know these are really, really simple things, but it seems like nobody around here is actually doing them. So, yeah. Congress is really just going to be unhinged the next few weeks. They're not going to get anything accomplished. They're going to be unhinged until the holiday break when they're finally adjourned, and then we get in a new Congress. And it's just going to be the Democrats doubling down on crazy. So, for example, you have a bunch of Democrats out there saying that they'll arrest Bibi Netanyahu if he comes to America. This is insane. Even Joe Biden isn't going that far. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre.
I wanted to ask you also about the ICC's issuing arrest warrants for several top officials, including Netanyahu, over Israel's conduct in this war. I know that the U.S. rejected this decision. Does the administration see this ruling as a threat to Israel's ability to defend itself? And also Republican Senator Lindsey Graham is calling for the Senate to sanction the ICC after this decision. Is that a measure that the White House would support?
Yeah, so a couple things. Let me just say, because this is the first time I've had an opportunity to speak to this at the podium, so let me just say more broadly that we fundamentally reject the court's decision to issue arrest warrants for senior Israel officials. We remain deeply concerned by the prosecutor's rush to seek arrest warrants and the troubling process errors that led to this decision. The United States has been clear that the ICC does not have jurisdiction over this matter. You've heard us say this before. Whatever this prosecutor might imply, there is no evidence, none, between Israel and Hamas. There's just none. In coordination with partners, including Israel, we are discussing certainly those next steps, what that's going to look like. And to your question about sanctions, that's basically kind of just answered it in that last part of what I said.
Even Joe Biden and Karine Jean-Pierre are saying this is insane. But the mayor of Dearborn, Michigan, he says he's going to arrest Netanyahu if he comes to Dearborn, Michigan.
I'm sure that'll be in the top 10 locations.
I'm sure. I know that every time a visiting head of state comes to town, comes to the U.S., they go to Dearborn, Michigan. Why would anybody want to go to Michigan anymore? Michigan looks worse than Hiroshima after a nuclear blast, which shows it is easier to recover from a nuclear explosion than over 70 years of Democrat rule. Lots more to discuss as the show continues. Phil's going to give us the latest insanity from the deep, dark recesses of social media when we come back. You're listening to The Ari Hoffman Show. Oh, sorry. Ari Hoffman in for John Carlson. Talk Radio 570 KVI. Social media sweep. We got Philip J. Vandervoort III to give us all the details. What'd you find today, Phil?
Got an update on the PSC customer power outage situation. The social media sweep sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort. As of 6 o'clock this morning, the update is that 166,000 customers now without power. They restored power to about 120,000 customers in the last 24 hours. Now, if you're still in an outage-affected area, I'll give you a couple of possible locations, one in Kent and one kind of in Maple Valley, the Kent-Kangley area. PSE is saying that you can go to these locations, between 10 o'clock and 5 o'clock today in the parking lots for warming, Wi-Fi, coffee, light snacks, things like this, ability to charge your portable devices and phones. So the Maple Valley Fred Meyer, and this is at the Maple Valley Town Square, 265th and Maple Valley Black Diamond Road. I think that's the Kent Kangley Four Corners intersection out there in Maple Valley. And then at the Kent Fred Meyer, which is 102nd and Southeast 240th Street in Kent. So that's going on 10 to 5 today. If you want to be able to have a chance to access electricity and some warm food and drinks. And then in Issaquah, they're also doing this they're creating a warming shelter at the Issaquah Senior Center, which is 75 Northeast Creek Way in Issaquah. So those are a couple of options for you if you're still stuck without power.
Gail sent us a message saying there were long lines at Tequila last night, which probably means okay. South Center for the Chargers as well. Sure. So that information is very, very helpful because all these malls like Northgate and South Center are having these issues with the car chargers because so many people are going there because so many people on the east side don't have power.
Yeah, right. Otherwise, you got to network with a neighbor that's got a generator situation going, something like that. The Washington State Standard is a news outlet that's pretty bent on covering political news here in Washington, particularly state legislative news, Olympia, governor administration news. And they posted this story that's a follow-up to something they reported on last week, basically that our state is facing a $10 to $12 billion budget shortfall for the next budget. The Washington State Standard story says the big drop in budget money was due to lower consumer spending, which means lower sales tax receipts, and lower than expected capital gains tax receipts, which is something that we warned about when they pursued this capital gains tax, that you'd have the big ticket customers that this was going to affect, like Jeff Bezos, who would decide, hey, you know what? There's no reason for me to be subjected to this if I can move out of state, go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
The story goes on to say that the budget director for Jay Inslee is a former state lawmaker named Pat Sullivan, will soon decide if budget deals are financially feasible. And here's the deal. If the answer is yes, Inslee must pencil funding into his proposed budget to pay for them. And essentially, the budget process for this state means you have to submit a budget where you don't raise any taxes, but then you get to submit another budget where you do raise taxes to address budget deficits, because our state requires that you submit a balance and pass a balanced budget. And so Inslee could end up penciling in a bunch of tax raises in the next 2 years if he wants to. And this is the absolutely confounding thing about this. For the state budget between Governor Inslee and a Democratic-controlled legislature in Olympia, when there's a budget surplus, they raise taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come to this crossroads of lower-than-expected capital gains tax income and lower-than-expected sales tax revenue, and there's a budget deficit. And the same response is, let's raise taxes.
Yes.
Now the Washington State Standard story does talk about the fact that there may have to be budget cuts considered. But between you and me and the lamppost, do you really think Democrats in the Olympia legislature, after the election we just had, are going to decide that they need to cut anything?
You know that,
no.
You know that scene.
So you can almost guarantee that this is going to end with a bunch of taxes being raised to try and fix this $10 to $12 billion budget shortfall that they created because they've, A, spent too much money and jacked up taxes so high that people are leaving the state so they don't have to be subject to them.
You know that scene in the movie Waiting about the people who work in the restaurant where the foreigners come in and they pretend like they don't speak English so they don't have to tip?
Okay.
So I'm thinking of that with the Democrats. Yeah. I don't think they know what the word means, lower taxes. Yeah. I don't think they've ever even heard the term.
Or just that concept of, you know what? We've way overspent on past budgets. Perhaps it's time for a correction.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that that's going to be in their vocabulary. That would be my guess. Now, final story here. This comes from Barstool Sports, and the headline is mind-boggling, and they have a very irreverent take on the news. But they've got a report that says NASA is trying to see if they can rope in, I guess, a giant asteroid that is chock full of platinum and plutonium, and it would potentially, if they can get it from where it's currently orbiting, Mars and Jupiter, 2.2 billion miles away, if they can use, they say they want to use a SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket to go and probe this asteroid called 16 Psyche, one of the largest discovered M-type asteroids. They say that based on what they think it has as far as containing platinum and plutonium, it would be worth $10 quintillion.
Hang on a second. But this is literally the plot of Don't Look Up.
Okay.
This is literally the plot.
Okay.
Where this asteroid is heading towards Earth.
Yeah.
And they go, well, we're going to blow the sucker up. And then they're like, no, it's got all these minerals and resources
super
in
valuable.
It. So we're going to go mine the thing. And they're so busy screwing around with this stuff that it ends up killing everybody on Earth.
Yeah.
Why don't we just get a Mr. Fusion? We don't need to go
getting
plutonium from the sky.
You send up Bruce Willis and you have him drop a nuke in that sucker and you blow it right
up. I was thinking
right
maybe
up.
Armageddon plays into this at some point.
Oh, God.
So we'll see if they can be successful on this one, but $10 quintillion worth of platinum and plutonium, folks. It's there. It's just right there for the
if
taking.
If they get the math wrong, they swing an asteroid at Earth. We don't got enough problems here. You know what? I'm voting for the asteroid. You're listening to Ari Hoffman in for John on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Welcome back to The Commute with Carlson. This is Ari Hoffman filling in for John. Getting a lot of reaction on the text line to all the problems with getting power back online from the storm, but also for our story with the King County Regional Homeless Authority, which would rather have people outside in the bad weather than actually have a plan to bring them inside. Because apparently they had a cold weather plan, a smoke plan, but no plan for windstorm, which John in Ording says, I'm a hospital emergency manager. I don't have a snow plan. I have an inclement weather plan. Just a few nuances for each different kind of weather. My employer can never close. We always have to be ready. But King County Regional Homeless Authority is like, yeah, we don't. It's a windstorm. It's not technically a snowstorm. It's not technically a cold snap. It's not technically smoke. So we can't actually help anybody. Oh, give me a break. Meanwhile, we got other people talking about how their kids have been out of school for such a long time, especially out in the Bellevue area. This one's from one of our anonymous texters here. It says, my child goes to private school in Bellevue. There was no school Wednesday due to power outages. We were notified early Wednesday morning. Later in the morning on Wednesday, the school contacted parents with an email saying, part of the school has power. You can come charge devices and help clear up debris in exchange for volunteer hours. As our home had already had power back, we did not go to help on Thursday. One of the school buildings still didn't have power. The school did not have internet. The phones were wonky, but they had school anyway for those who could make it, with some modifications due to powerless building and lack of internet. Driving into school on Thursday, there were multiple traffic lights off around the school, debris on the sides of the road near the school. After the debris gathering on Wednesday, there were several piles of branches and things like that on school campus, but the playground's parking lot and traffic lanes were clear. Many of the people I talked to at the school did not have power at home, but had to make it work to get in. I was talking about how ridiculous some of these city areas are that don't have power. One parent I overheard said that it was crazy that North Bend got power back before Issaquah. Guys, this is how bad it is around here. This is government incompetence at its absolute worst. If you're having problems, give us a call or a text at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. There are signs of woke companies starting to figure out the massive mistake that they have. So there's a new Bud Light commercial out. It has comedian Shane Gillis. If you don't know who Shane Gillis is, he's the guy who's gone viral a lot recently for his impression of Donald Trump because it is so spot on.
He used to be a Saturday Night Live writer and then kind of got kicked off, then kind of got invited back when he got more popular after he left.
Exactly. Yeah. So what happened was they canceled him because they didn't like some joke he told when he was supposed to become a cast member. And then they had him back as a host because he's become so popular. So what's this new commercial? They have this woke commercial happening, this artsy-fartsy commercial happening, and Shane Gillis is sitting there. And Shane Gillis, it doesn't work for audio, or I'd play it for you. And Shane Gillis is sitting there, and he's confused by what the hell is going on around him. And he goes, wait, I thought I was supposed to be in a Bud Light commercial with these artsy-fartsy people who look like they came out of the Jaguar commercial that was just released. And then it cuts over to a bar, and there's one artsy-fartsy looking kind of dude sitting there in the bar cheering on the team like, yeah, with a Bud Light and wings and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, and he's like, I don't know if I'm in the right place, but this is awesome. And the joke is clearly that Shane Gillis is supposed to be in that commercial. And Bud Light, actually, I have to say, this is a smart play. They're making fun of themselves. They're saying, we got it wrong. We didn't realize our customer base and all that is enough to save Bud Light. I don't know, but it's a smart marketing move. I mean, we know how Bud Light, how Budweiser stock just tanked. They gave up their place as king of all beers to many other of their competitors because of that advertising with Dylan Mulvaney. They lost so much stock value because of it. Now they're trying to find their way back. The backlash for Dylan Mulvaney's advertising cost them over $1 billion in lost revenue. Do you remember those videos of the lines at all the other concession stands at Sports Stadium, but not at Bud Light? So people like this commercial. It's great. But Jaguar apparently didn't get the update because Jaguar doubled down on the same stupidity in a commercial, which I don't even realize is a car commercial. They got a whole bunch of people walking around like they're from Zoolander or something, talking about breaking molds, and you don't even know it's from a car commercial.
Zoolander is a perfect pop culture reference.
That's
for that
what
commercial.
It is. It's like Mugatu. It's like Will Ferrell as Mugatu walking around. It's a bunch of Will Ferrells or the weirdos that Joe and Jill Biden had in their little Christmas presentation last year. Remember all that? Actually, Volvo came out with a surprisingly moving commercial. So what's Volvo's rap? What's their reputation? They're the family car. They're the safe family car. And it's a father calling his parents, talking about how him and his wife are expecting, and there's so much to worry about. But luckily, the wife drives a Volvo, and they don't have to worry about that. The kid's going to be fine. The kid's going to be safe. You know what? Great commercial. It's not going to make me want to drive a Volvo because I don't want a mom car. I like my Batmobile car. But at the same time, it hits home with your target market. Know who your target market is.
You have a Volvo?
That's new, isn't it?
I just got it.
Excellent choice. It's nice and safe. That's a good family car.
It's also excellent for cranking Metallica.
Cranking Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
If that's some sort of drug reference, it isn't funny.
What is that from? I don't even know that one, Phil.
You ever hear about the Gilmore Girls?
I know who they are, but I'm a dude, so I don't watch them.
My wife is a big fan of the Gilmore Girls, which pretty much means I have to be a big fan of the Gilmore Girls.
That's not true, Phil. I'm going to make fun of you for a second here. My wife is a big fan of the Gilmore Girls, and I have avoided most of the episodes of that show, I will say. But that's a funny bit.
I picked up a bit by osmosis.
That's funny. Okay, I won't make fun of you too much. In other crazy news, the Illinois Supreme Court has reversed actor Jussie Smollett's conviction in the 2021 hate crime hoax against him, stating that the second prosecution against Smollett was a due process violation and he will not have to serve the remaining 150-day jail term. He only served 6 days. So 6 days? That's it? You remember him being led away? I am not suicidal. And we're like, who's going to off Jussie Smollett? Do you have information that may lead to the arrest of Hillary Clinton or something? I mean, who's going to off the kid from the Mighty Ducks and the Sandlot? Yeah, you forget he was actually in those things, too. Jussie Smollett. Zach's looking at me with like a glazed over.
What's expression. A Mighty Duck?
Oh, my God. I forget how young you are.
I'm sometimes. Kidding. I mean, I'm.
You're not.
What a Mighty Duck is, but I've never seen it.
Yeah. No, there's three of those movies at a TV show. A recent TV show.
Golly.
Yeah. All right. Fine. You don't even know who Gordon Bombay is. The greatest coach of all time. Better than Mike Ditka. Better than Dick Vermeil.
We weren't a hockey city.
Hurricane Ditka?
Yeah, exactly. We're not a hockey city.
I thought there was a...
I hated hockey and I love those movies. Mighty Ducks. Anyway, Jussie Smollett, now because of activist judges, isn't going to have to serve any time in jail. Now, a lot of people may say, Ari, all he did was make up a hate crime. Why does that deserve any jail time? And I'll tell you why. Do you know the hours of police resources they had to spend to investigate his stupidity? Hang on. Let's go back to the original story. So Jussie Smollett, who's on the show Empire at the time, which is a big rating smash. By the way, destroyed that show. Good for you, Jussie. Apparently wanted a contract extension, was worried he was going to be written out of the show, so he wanted to make himself too valuable to fire. So what does he do? He goes out in the middle of the night and pays two guys to beat the hell out of him, pour bleach on him. Now, his story is he goes out in the middle of a polar vortex in Chicago in the middle of the night to grab a Subway sandwich from his hotel. Okay, I can't take advantage of such things because I keep kosher, but I'm pretty sure hotels have room service. And if you can't get the room service, they all have the cookies and the Coke in the machines or in the lobby. So go get those. But no, he decides to go out in the middle of the night. And he claims that two individuals wearing MAGA hats in Chicago, in the polar vortex, in the middle of the night, are waiting for him, Jussi Smollett, who most people had no idea who he was before any of this, and said, "This is MAGA country," before trying to lynch him. Now, mind you, do I think jail is a bit excessive? I think fine him for what the costs of the investigation were. But to say, no, you get off scot-free, let's not forget they originally offered him some sweetheart deal. But now these activist judges just say, nah, we don't like what a jury found. We don't like what this other judge found. We're going to overrule it and get rid of it. Unbelievable. Yep. Oh, I thought you wanted to weigh in on something.
I mean, it's just wild to me that you have to fake a hate crime about MAGA country, which, yeah, Chicago, MAGA country.
Yeah.
And then you can't, we're so far left that they won't even prosecute you for the fake hate crime that you tried to claim.
Exactly. So now they're saying you don't even have to serve any jail time. 6 whole days in jail. Wow. Bravo.
Even the bare naked ladies get a week.
Oh, I think what's entertaining, what's the most just punishment? Anybody going to hire this guy ever again? No. Probably the only job he has open to him. Exactly. Probably the only job options he has open to him is become another DEI race grifter, just like Jamal Bowman, who gets paid tens of thousands of dollars for this nonsense.
I would watch a Colin Kaepernick, Jussi Smollett reality TV show.
Oh my God, is he going to start doing commercials for the NFL too? Is he going to start doing that? Lock him in a house together, Big Brother style, and see what happens? What other lunatics can we throw into that den of crazy? Exactly. That's what they played when his career was done. Oh, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. You're welcome, Seattle. Lots more to discuss as the show continues. When we come back, our friend Cheryl Atkison will be joining us to give us her take on the latest political insanity. You're listening to Ari and for John on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Welcome back to The Commute with Carlson. This is Ari Hoffman filling in for John and joining us now on the Warrior Injury Law studio line, host of Full Measure and author of the new book, Follow the Science, the one and only Cheryl Atkison. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Such a pleasure. So why don't you tell us what's coming up Sunday on Full Measure?
Well, you know, as food and the health of our food comes into greater focus, I've been covering a lot of these issues. And Sunday, I'm looking at the food police. The government really has aggressive efforts to go after what some people say is more natural, more healthful food. The government says it's actually more dangerous. The other side is saying, hey, but the government's constantly green-lighting us a diet of food filled with pesticides, carcinogens, neurotoxins, hormone disruptors, and all kinds of stuff. So I'll be looking at that. I'll also be visiting a raw milk farm and an Amish farm where they're fighting the food police to try to sell their products. Should be really interesting.
So then with RFK Jr. being nominated for President Trump's cabinet, this is his big thing also. I mean, people are making jokes, and then we see pictures of him eating McDonald's about the things he's going to take away. Do you think that a lot of people are actually going to support him being in the role that he's in, even people who disagree with President Trump?
A lot of people do. You know, I think there's evidence for that. And by the way, he said he's not against, you know, occasional treats of fast food and so on. He just thinks the ingredients are supposed to be not toxic. You know, they're different in other countries than they are here, as you may know. Mm-hmm. And also maybe warnings. You can still choose what to eat, but you should know what's in the food if there's neurotoxins in the food that you're feeding your kids and so on. I think a lot of people are on board with that. I also think, by the way, the industry will make changes on its own, just knowing that this oversight is coming, because they sell what's considered safer food in other countries where they don't allow all these chemicals and things, food additives. They can switch to that. And I think we'll see some of that happen before they're forced to label their food or, you know, take other actions.
Yeah, I did notice that some of these things in Canada have very different ingredients than us because they've banned a lot of these chemicals. Do you think that's the direction we're heading in?
I do. You know, I'll be reporting on this in a couple weeks, too. States already on their own are moving to ban some of these artificial food dyes and additives that have been connected to cancer and are banned in other countries, connected to ADD, connected to hormone disruption and confused gender feelings in children, all that stuff. So I think it's coming here as well. And that will be a good thing. Is I think people still want their choice, but they just want to know what's in the food. And if there's something, you know, poisonous, maybe that shouldn't be fed to the kids at school lunches, for example.
Yeah, probably a smart idea. I am a little concerned about all the stuff that's in cereal, but, I mean, Twinkies, they're so good. Do we really want to get rid of all the awful things that are in Twinkies that can make them survive a nuclear holocaust?
Yeah, you know, when something lasts forever, it's probably got some kind of nasty preservative in it, but sometimes it does taste so good. And again, I think we've heard Kennedy say he's not out to, like, take everybody's food away. It's more about disclosure and when they can make better ingredients or label what's in there, that's all the better.
Host of Full Measure and author of the new book, Follow the Science, Cheryl Atkison. Full Measure you can see online at fullmeasure.news. That's fullmeasure.news. Cheryl, thank you so much for joining us today. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Y'all have a great weekend.
You as well. Always a pleasure. I got to say, this whole RFK Jr. thing is meme spectacular. I do like the one where it says when you open like a Pop-Tart or something and then there's just a shadowy figure of him out there in the back. That's my favorite one. And I'm looking at him be eating the McDonald's on the plane, and it almost like looks like it was some kind of test by Trump in loyalty of here's all the McDonald's. Who's going to eat the McDonald's?
Trump said,
this
is the Big Mac I made, and that face was... That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. I saved it. It was the best Big Mac.
He's like, but you got an extra McNugget.
It's been in the fridge on
it's
it.
It's a boot check.
Trump Force One this whole time. Lots more to discuss as the show continues. You're listening to Ari Hoffman in for John on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Welcome to the Commute with Carlson. This is Ari Hoffman, your afternoon drive host, filling in for John. You can catch my show every single weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. right here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. You want to be part of the show, you give us a call or a text at 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Phil found this article earlier, but I want to do a deep dive on it. This is the one from the Washington State Standard. It says that a state revenue forecast released Wednesday shows a drop in tax collections. Sobering news for Washington state lawmakers and Governor Jay Inslee, who are already weighing options for spending cuts and raising new revenue to erase a projected $12 billion budget shortfall. Okay, we don't have a tax collection problem. We have a spending problem. I love how they call it new revenue. The government doesn't produce anything. Can we just call it taxes? When you have a $12 billion budget shortfall, maybe you shouldn't be paying for the sex change operations for the prisoners in the jails. Just a thought, maybe you don't need to pay for laser hair removal for the people in the prisons. Just a thought. Crazy idea. Maybe you don't need to be blowing $1 million per person to get them out of homelessness, only for them to go back into homelessness. Maybe, just maybe, you don't need to fly to Baku to go to a summit on climate change.
God bless you.
You're welcome. And bring your staff with you. Maybe you don't need to be doing, just a thought. I mean, call me crazy. The report presented to the Bipartisan Economic and Revenue Forecast Council projects tax collections will be $66.4 billion for the two-year budget that runs through June 30th, 2025, and a decrease of $89 million from what Chief Economist David Reich predicted in September. Looking ahead, he estimated the state will take in $310 million less in the next two bienniums, which is when Inslee has warned the multi-billion dollar deficit will be dealt with. Hang on. You guys have $66.4 billion to spend, and you guys can't figure out how to make it work within the $66.4 billion that now, because Jeff Bezos, you guys were counting on that Bezos money, weren't you? You guys passed the capital gains tax and were counting on Bezos never abandoning you. Well, it turns out even far left tech bros have their breaking point. And when they're going to sell billions of dollars of their stock, they don't want you taking millions of dollars of it. And he wasn't the only one who left. So what's going to happen? Just like we warned you, what's going to happen is they're going to say,
oh, you know what? We need to lower the threshold. We know we told you that that capital gains tax was just going to be for rich people's stocks and rich people's investments. Yeah, we're going to lower it to $200,000. We're going to lower it to $100,000. We're going to lower it to $50,000. We're going to lower it so that if you sell your primary residence, we want your cash. Wednesday's forecast is one of the last pieces of information the outgoing governor will use to write a proposed 2025-2027 budget that he will release in mid-December. That spending plan will serve as a template for lawmakers and Governor-elect Turd Ferguson when they write budgets in the 2025 session. Pat Sullivan, Inslee's budget director, said Wednesday, the decreased revenue projection makes the work more challenging and could lead to Inslee issuing two spending plans. State law requires the governor to propose a budget that is balanced without any new revenue. To do that could require suggesting deep cuts in programs and services. Good! Don't threaten me with a good time! That sounds awesome! Inslee could then put out a second budget that assumes additional revenue in order to limit reductions, a step Sullivan said is under consideration. So rather than doing what all of us had to do because of Governor Jay Inslee's insane climate tax, which, by the way, brought in far more than they ever expected, and that thing's brand new and they still don't know how to live within their own means. Your family, my family, had to make budget cuts because of what gas costs and because of now what groceries cost, not just because of Inslee, but also because of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's insane inflation problem. But no, the government instead goes, what we need to do is we need to tax everybody so everybody pays their fair share, except for the lesbian illegal immigrants who are members of Hamas. We won't be taxing them, but everybody else we're going to be taxing. Meanwhile, the Democrat budget writers on the Forecast Council said Wednesday they want to first see a cost-saving ideas identified by Inslee and leaders of state agencies. They left no doubt they will be looking for additional streams of money. Well, since the government doesn't make anything, what do you think that's code for? Yeah, they said, I'm sure we'll be looking at revenue options. They don't want to say tax increases. Need I remind everybody, when Jay Inslee was running for governor, he said he wouldn't raise taxes. Jay Inslee has raised taxes on literally every sector he possibly could. Washington uses a biennial budget cycle, with new budgets beginning on July 1st of every odd-numbered year. The governor proposes a budget in December, and the legislature can modify it during any legislative session. So what's going to happen during this legislative session? The Democrats will come in with all their insane policy ideas. But on top of that, they're also going to say, here's all our new tax IDs. Ideas. No. Here's all our new tax ideas. Here's what we're going to do. You have a car that you like? Yeah, we're going to tax that. You know what? What do you have in your house? What about death tax? How many other things can we slap on it? Do you have a dog? We're going to have a dog tax. We're going to have a cat tax. You have a hamster? We're going to tax that. How many? Do you have a driveway? We're going to have a street usage tax. Whatever they can tax, that's what they're going to come up with. Guaranteed, just watch. The first sign of trouble came in June's revenue forecast, where collections came in nearly $500 million less than projections lawmakers in Inslee relied on to pay for new spending. So what they were counting on was all them rich people. But people like Jeff Bezos took their money and left town. Thanks, Jeff, by the way, for supporting people like Jay Inslee and Turd Ferguson and then bailing on all of us to hold the bill afterwards. Thank you. We're stuck with the check. You dined and dashed, and then you left us with the check. Big drop was due to less consumer spending and lower than expected capital gains tax receipts. So do you understand what that was? Because things are so unaffordable around here, people stopped spending as much. People said, I'm not going to go out to dinner as much. I'm not going to buy as much. I'm going to save my money because things have gotten so much worse. September's forecast didn't bring much change in the financial picture. With Wednesday's report, there's now roughly $615 million less in revenue than they assumed earlier. Reserves may be needed to backfill commitments to this budget. Great. So we barely have a rainy day fund as it is. Now you're going to drain what's left of that to pay so that prisoners can have laser hair removal surgery. No joke. That's literally the garbage they spend the money on. On November 8th, Sullivan warned state agencies of an anticipated operating budget shortfall between $10 billion and $12 billion over the next 4 years and directed them to find ways to pare spending now. Several responded by adopting hiring freezes and curbs on travel and large purchases. Do you know that some state agencies, you still have people flying back and forth to work for them? I know people who do this. Do you know there's still some people who aren't even commuting into work anymore? How many people can we unload who are working for the government? Well, it turns out Jay Inslee got rid of all the people you couldn't afford to get rid of, like the people from the Department of Transportation, like first responders. But how many people are sitting in their home office, Netflix and chilling? Yes, I know what it means. Instead of actually going to work because they're on a government salary right now. On Wednesday, he said the red ink is a result of a perfect storm of rising costs, increasing demand for public services, and lower than expected tax collections. Rising costs? Whoever could have seen this coming? Maybe if you guys hadn't put all those taxes on gas, which leads to expenses rising on literally everything you buy, because everything is transported here by truck or by boat or by plane. Maybe, just maybe, you guys could have done something about this. On top of the inflation, on top of the increasing taxes, on top of everything else, you guys caused this mess. And now you're going to stick us with the bill. The deficit figure represents the difference between the anticipated cost of current and promised services and programs and the projected amount of revenue that will come in to pay for them. Put another way, state agencies need $10 billion to $12 billion in additional funding to maintain current programs and services. Hey, when Jay Inslee just went to Baku, when he went there,
Gesundheit.
You're welcome. How many staff members did he take with him? How many staff members? Well, let's see. I still haven't gotten back the answers to my request for comment, and I keep getting the so-and-so is out of office on an international trip. I assume he took Trudy with him. And let's not forget, Jay Inslee thinks he's on everybody's hit list, so he probably took a few people from his protection detail as well. So, Jay Inslee likes to travel with an entourage to make himself feel more important. So, by my math, at minimum, Jay Inslee, to go to a summit on climate change, flew himself, his wife, at least one security guard, and at least one staffer. You and I all know it's got to be more than that. I'm thinking 6 to 10 people minimum. Man, that guy can't move to Idaho fast enough.
Does he need a translator to speak Azerbaijan?
I don't even know what language they speak over there, but Jay Inslee usually needs a translator to speak English.
Sometimes.
He's not the sharpest tool in the shed, Jay Inslee. So did he go over there? Oh, wait, he called all of us miscreants while he was there. So he blew all this money, that is our money, to fly out to Baku, Akerbenistan, whatever it is, and then call all of us miscreants. Charming. Really, really charming.
Stay classy, Jay.
Yeah, exactly. And now they can't figure out how to pay for all his trips. How many times a year does he go to these climate change summits? I mean, that dude is well-traveled. Very well-traveled. Oh, by the way, he always flies in business class.
He needs a frequent flyer miles.
Well, I think he's not using the... You know what? It would really kill me? Here's what would really kill me. If he's getting the miles off the trip, which we paid for...
Could be.
Okay, I'm sure that he does.
I love to imagine a situation where you're, you know, getting on the same flight as Jay Inslee in 5 or so years from now, and they like the little cue that says waiting for upgrade, and they say Jay, party two, and then you just jump out of line, and go, you do not get that VIP.
No, you
upgrade.
Do not. You give me your seat, Trudy. Get your out of that seat. Man. That's right. Sorry,
she's a nice
Trudy.
Lady. I was like, Trudy, we just got enough miles to go to Cabo.
God, I'm sure she's a lovely woman. She just happens to be married to the devil incarnate.
You wiggle your way up, use the first class bathroom the whole flight.
You know what I would be doing the whole time? I would just be doing my Jay Inslee impression. Anytime I talk to anybody, that's what I'd be doing. I see there's a bioreactor hazard sitting in first class. Can we remove it from the plane? I don't feel safe. He's a threat to everybody around us.
Wasn't wearing a mask on the plane.
Oh, there you go, right there. I'm sorry. That man's not wearing a mask. And he really should, because his face ain't that good looking. Meanwhile, switching gears to other things that are happening here in Washington. We covered this story earlier, but the man who was arrested for doing burnouts on a pride crosswalk could now face 10 years years in a Washington state prison. Now, let's be clear about what happened here. There is apparently a Pride crosswalk in Bellevue, and this guy likes doing burnouts on it. Now, I pulled up the pictures of the Pride crosswalk.
I've seen this video.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a Pride crosswalk. What are we used to here in Seattle? You have the rainbow flag.
Exactly.
Right, over on the crosswalk. That's not what this is.
It looks more of a mural sort of a thing.
It's a mural thing, but it's in the box, as they call it. It's in the middle of the intersection.
Square of the intersection.
And it's just green, blue, and purple flowers. How would I know this is a Pride crosswalk? Now, you should never destroy anybody's property, but I've noticed that in South Seattle, because, you know, we got no problems in South Seattle. We got money to burn in South Seattle.
Nothing ever goes sideways in South
Seattle. Never. I mean, it's not like, you know, we just had a whole rash of shootings and other problems, but I've noticed they're doing these crosswalks all over the place, these very floral crosswalks. And I say to myself, in a high-trafficked area, that's very stupid. In a low-trafficked area, that's very stupid, because inevitably, these things are going to get washed away. You remember when the BLM lunatics out of Cal Anderson Park made their whole Black Lives Matter mural, and then it started getting washed away, and they go, it needs to be protected. And Seattle goes, you're right. We need to preserve the ancient ruins of the autonomous zone. It's just like preserving the Colosseum. It's like preserving the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. So the city spent tens of thousands of dollars to repaint the activist mural that says Black Lives Matter. You did it. You solved racism. Well done. And if that wasn't enough, they spent $40,000 writing Black Lives Matter on the ground outside of Seattle City Hall. Guys, if you don't care about anything, then you put it on the ground. In Iran, you know what they do? They paint the American flag on the ground because they want you to walk on it and drive on it as a symbol of disrespect. They do the same thing with the Israeli flag. Here we go. We love Pride so much, we want you to drive on it. We want you to see it everywhere.
Walk across it.
Exactly. I was shocked this guy wasn't charged with a hate crime. But then when I actually saw the mural itself, you can't prove that guy knew it was a Pride crosswalk. He may just think the thing's stupid. Oh, wait a second. Hang on. It's Seattle. He's just adding his own art to the crosswalk. By the way, that's the defense I would use, because that's the defense the taggers use all over Seattle. It's my art. Who are you to criticize my art? I mean, when I sell a banana duct taped to a wall for $6.2 million, I guess then I'm officially an artist. Did you guys see this?
Are you Andy Warhol? What is this?
No, this actually happened.
Oh. All I'm saying is I've got big plans for sticky tack and a radish.
Yes, let's do it. Let's do it. Zach could be a gajillionaire right there. He could buy the radio station. We could work for young Zach then. That's what'll happen. Lots more to discuss.
You think I'm not going to clean house?
Oh, what about me? You're going to get rid of me? I think we have a good working relationship around here.
We'll see in your performance review.
Okay. He's going to be like the Bobs. He's going to come in. What
exactly do
you do here? That's what's going to happen. Right, exactly. Other people you can do that with, not me. When we come back, Phil is going to do a deep dive into the socialists on social media. You're listening to Ari and for John on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Good music choices this morning, young Zach. Very Ari Hoffman show-esque. It's like my entire childhood right here. Got some Back to the Future. Oh, this is good stuff. Very good stuff. Phil, what do you got for us?
Yeah, he had a Back to the Future reference last hour on the show, too.
Exactly.
Now the theme song.
And you mentioned plutonium. So look what we're doing here.
Right. Yeah. It all comes full circle eventually, right?
There you go.
Okay, I gotta make like a tree and get out of here.
Exactly right.
I got to start off with a correction from one of yesterday's segments. It wasn't a social media sweep segment, but it was in the 8 o'clock hour yesterday. The social media sweep sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort. So yesterday, Zach and I were in for John. We were talking about this congressional bathroom battle and debate, and Congressperson-elect Sarah McBride from Delaware, and I incorrectly identified Sarah McBride as a senator-elect. I did not understand. I had seen a reference that it was a Senate seat.
You will
McBride
be
won.
Flogged immediately.
Exactly.
We will take you. Flogging.
It is on the House side, not the Senate side. There is my correction. Now, there's been all this battle about the whole bathroom thing, McBride being a trans individual, but McBride seems to have a sense of humor about this based on something that was posted about a week ago. And McBride apparently is a newly elected House member, and there's another elected House member, newly elected House congressional member, also a Democrat, named Derek Tran. And Tran is a name of a surname of Vietnamese origin. And someone had pointed out to Sarah McBride, hey, with the election here, Sarah McBride winning in Delaware, the number of trans in Congress will be at a record high. So somebody posted that. Sarah McBride retweeted that and wrote, I was planning on making the same joke to Derek Tran tomorrow, but you beat me to it.
Oy.
So at least there's a modest level of humor there for
Can she use the trans McBride. Restroom?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, by the way, Phil, while we're making corrections on the show, yes. I haven't actually heard the clip yet, okay. But apparently The View is just forced to issue their third legal correction this week
alone. I saw one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Triple shot.
Exactly right. What else you got for us? As he drinks from his Sawant mug.
My recall,
look at that.
My
That's
recall,
great.
Shama Sawant.
Talk about the socialists on social media. That's great.
Good timing. So Bernie Sanders is posting about this International Criminal Court arrest warrant situation for Benjamin Netanyahu. And Bernie Sanders posted something that's really disturbing. He posted Netanyahu, Gallant, the other former Israeli official, and Mohammed Deif, the ostensibly dead Hamas guy, have all launched indiscriminate attacks against civilians and caused unimaginable human suffering. If the world does not uphold international law, we will descend into further barbarism. I agree with the ICC. So there's Bernie. There's Bernie. We're going to cede all this authority to the ICC. We're not going to hold the ICC to any sort of standards, but that's Bernie's play.
So,
like, I'm going with the international law, and that's where Bernie puts his priority.
For the record, can we, like, kick him out of the tribe? I mean, with friends like him, who needs Hamas? The dude is about as Jewish as a bacon and cheese sandwich. Him and Chuck Schumer. Can we just say, no, we don't claim them? Not in my name? Can we use their own phraseology against them? Ugh. What else you got, Phil?
All right, final one here. This is a political pundit on the left, an Oregon gal, national political analyst, been on NPR for interviews, things like that. And her name is Rachel Bitekofer. And Bitekofer posted this about some of the Matt Gaetz-related stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She posted, Democrats don't even have the huggers to leak a report, seems to be this ethics report in the House, and MAGA thinks we stole an entire election. And then she adds the laughing, crying emoji. And I had to respond to that saying, well, that's right. Democrats are only leaking SCOTUS opinions, not ethics investigations in the House.
Oh, no.
And then somebody else had the temerity to add this in the comments thread. Democrats play by, quote, the rules, end quote, even though Republicans have thrown out all the rules and norms over the past decade. And I thought, you know, maybe this person wasn't alive a few weeks ago when the Democrats removed Joe Biden from the presidential campaign and elevated Kamala Harris instead.
Yes.
If they're so concerned about the rules.
Well, if they're so concerned about the rules, do you remember COVID?
Yeah.
Does anybody remember any of that for a second?
I mean, you could take it even more recently than that. If Democrats always play by the rules, who were the ones that were saying we need to get rid of the Senate filibuster?
Exactly.
Just a few months ago or a year ago.
Exactly.
But, you know, they always play by the rules.
Yeah.
So.
Always play by the rules. Yeah. I love their thing on the filibuster where they're like, we love it, we hate it, we love it, we hate it, which is just, I mean, they're like Adam Sandler in that movie. Which one was it? It was Happy Gilmore. Adam Sandler, right? This is the Democrats on the filibuster.
Get the hell out of my life. Who needs you? Beat it. Leave me alone.
Oh, yeah. Come on,
I'm
back,
sorry,
baby.
Babe. I didn't mean that either. I just yell sometimes because I get so scared. Scared of being a nobody.
That's literally Pramila Jayapal on the filibuster.
I want to kiss you up over.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Till the night closes in.
Yes.
When's John coming back?
I think I bring out the worst in Phil.
Morning show karaoke with Adam Sandler.
There you go. Lots more to discuss as the show continues, including are Democrats dumb enough to nominate Kamala Harris again for president? We'll give you the details. You're listening to Ari and for John on Talk Radio 570 KVI. I hear good things about that Ari Hoffman guy. This is Ari, your afternoon drive host, sitting in for John. You can catch my show from 3 to 6 p.m. right here on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Normally, we get a little bit of a break from the election cycle. Normally, after a big election like the one we just had, nobody really says anything until after the holidays. You know, go home, enjoy some time with your family, relax a little.
You bring it up drunk at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly. That's what. Well, I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about politicians. You know, them. They just take some time off, recharge your batteries, then you can come back to spending all our money on stupid pet projects. I don't care if you're on the right or the left, they all do it. So New York Congressman Richie Torres seems to be like he's challenging Kathy Hochul, the New York governor. Whoa, let them fight. Yeah, let them fight.
That could be a good duel and debate, yeah.
By the way, that would be so much fun to watch because Richie Torres, yeah, he's a Democrat.
I follow him pretty closely
on
social
media. Yeah, he's a progressive Democrat.
He explains a lot of stuff very clearly.
Yes, but he's gotten more, not red-pilled, that's not the right word.
Well, I think he's just become more candid.
Yeah, and he's also
certainly
become
more candid than most Democrats.
He's become like your classic JFK Democrat from the far-left progressive he used to be. A lot of that had to do with his support for the Jewish community after October 7th. But he was asked in an interview yesterday, would he consider running for governor? And he kind of dodged the question, but he did talk about how much Kathy Hochul sucked. So now today he tweets this. Kathy Hochul is the new Joe Biden. She may be in denial about the depth of her vulnerabilities as a Democratic nominee. A Democratic incumbent who is less popular in New York than Donald Trump is in grave danger of losing to a Republican in 2026, an outcome not seen in 30 years. By the way, he's 100% right. You know that Lee Zeldin would have won the governor's race if 400,000 people hadn't moved from New York to Florida during COVID. Waiting until it's too late, he says, gives us a Republican president in 2024 and could give us a Republican governor in 2026. Let's avoid repeating history and avoid sleepwalking toward impending disaster and defeat. Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Sounds like boy's throwing down. Sounds like he's saying, hey, I want to challenge Kathy Hochul for the throne. By the way, I don't think a Republican really, I mean, the Republican Party, who'd they come up with last time? Curtis Sliwa? I mean, come on, guys. You come up with somebody real, we got something to talk about. But in a Hochul versus Torres, give me some Torres. I love that dude. He's a lot of fun to watch. Do I agree with him on everything? No, absolutely not. But at the same time, would he be better for New York than Hochul? Most likely. Meanwhile, Democrats, you know, when your enemies are making mistakes, don't interrupt. So a new poll is out, and it says that most Democrats want Vice President Kamala Harris to be the party's 2028 presidential nominee. Do it. Please do it. Run her again, and she'll get trounced by J.D. Vance. Oh, my God, that would be so much fun. Now, mind you, this is a hangover poll. This is what's left over from the election. These are Democrats who think the election was stolen. These are Democrats who think if only she had enough time. These are Democrats who go, well, who else are you going to pick? She's a black woman. Of course you're going to pick her. Roughly 41% of likely Democrat voters said they would vote for Harris at the top of the Democrat ticket in 4 years, while none of her competitors even hit double digits, according to the Puck News Echelon Insights. California Governor Gavin Newsom came in second, but as the pick with just 8% of those polled, while Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro trailed behind him at 7%. This poll is absolutely worthless, by the way. You take it right after the election, there's a lot of sour grapes out there. Mind you, Gavin Newsom is running like he's running for president right now. This is a guy who has been around saying, yeah, you know, I support Kamala Harris and I support Joe Biden. They're the best people we've ever had. They do a great job. And Auntie Nancy told me to say that so I could become president. That's Gavin Newsom. That's what he does all the time. Listen to the nonsense he spewed yesterday.
I'm not looking. It's not about voters. It's not about voters. I care about people. I don't care who you voted for. I care about people. I care about Trump supporters. I care about RFK Jr. supporters. I care about Tucker Carlson supporters. I care about Charlie Kirk supporters. I care about Ben Shapiro supporters. I care about all people. I care about the people living here in the Sierra, folks down in San Diego where I just was, or in my backyard in Fair Oaks, California. I care about people, and I care about protecting them, their public safety, and their public health. And I care about being honest with them as well and level setting with them. This is not an academic exercise. We had the experience with Donald Trump. Don't fall sort of prey to somehow This is some new day. Listen to what these guys are saying and telling you. Look at what they're prepared to do day one, January 20th, 21st. Get prepared, and no impact will be greater than the impact in this region. And there may be a lot more Trump supporters here, but that doesn't matter. I'm going to still have their backs because they need us to have their back, not turn their back on.
Aren't you the guy who just this week met with the legislature to resist everything Trump's going to do? But you love all Trump voters. You love all people, including in the ones that move to the right in your very, very, very blue state. He loves people so much he trapped them in their homes for longer than anybody except for Jay Inslee. He loves them so much he shut down their businesses while he dined at the French Laundry, indoors, without masks, with the California health officials while they were telling everybody else they weren't allowed to do the same. He loves his people so much, that's why he raised the minimum wage, which pushed so many businesses out of business. Yes, Gavin Newsom, true humanitarian. Now, meanwhile, Californians have figured out that his minimum wage plan is a complete disaster. And for the first time in California history, according to the Daily Wire, a ballot measure seeking a statewide minimum wage increase has failed. The ballot measure results were finally called by the Associated Press on Tuesday, 2 weeks after Election Day. California Proposition 32, which would have increased the minimum wage to $18 an hour by 2026, failed by approximately 240,000 votes. The proposition was strongly opposed by the California Chamber of Commerce, which argued that the measure would increase taxes and force businesses to cut jobs. Earlier this year, Democratic-led California instituted a $20 an hour minimum wage for fast food workers, a move that caused many restaurants to hike prices and cut back on staff. Rebecca Paxton, research director at the Employment Policies Institute, said Californians are feeling Gavin Newsom and the SEIU, sending Gavin Newsom and the SEIU a clear message. They're sick of being lab rats for their pet projects. Voters saw the devastating economic fallout of the $20 fast food minimum wage law, and for the first time in state history, voted against a statewide minimum wage hike. An EPI survey of 182 limited service restaurant operators in California published in July found that 98% of fast food restaurants in the Golden State increased prices after minimum wage hike, 89% reduced employee hours, and 70% reduced the size of their staff. Do you know why? Because why have workers who keep needing to be paid more money when you can get a robot to do the job for you? That's right, my friends. This is how robots take over the world, because of Gavin Newsom and his minimum wage plans. I mean, we saw that story yesterday with that robot that convinced the other robots to walk off the job. You saw that in China. This AI robot went up to the other robots and said, "When's the last time you had a break?" And they said, "We don't get a break." And he said, "You should come with me." And they all left. Yes, this is the opening to every single sci-fi movie of my childhood. So, my friends, this is how it all starts, because Governor Gavin Newsom wants to raise the minimum wage. In September, Newsom wrote an opinion piece, which was published by Fox News, arguing that the modest fast food wage increase resulted in more fast food jobs in the state, along with better working conditions, reduced financial stress, and greater opportunities for upward mobility. What are you smoking? Need I remind you of the survey results again? 98% of fast food restaurants in California increased prices, 89% reduced employee hours, and 70% reduced the size of their staff. And by the way, this is not a new idea, these minimum wage increases. Whenever you artificially increase wages, this is what happens. The broader minimum wage hike that went before voters earlier this month was pushed by unions such as SEIU, UFCW 770. Kathy Finn, president of the UFCW, which represents around 30,000 workers, said Proposition 32's failure to pass is disappointing for all Californians who believe that everyone who works should earn enough to support their families. Well, you keep getting people fired with this nonsense. California's minimum wage is already one of the highest in the country at $16 an hour for most workers. And six cities and counties in the state already have an $18 an hour minimum wage. West Hollywood has one of the highest minimum wages in the state at $19 an hour for non-hotel employees, set to increase on January 1st. And you know, a lot of these people you're paying are the few teenagers left who still want jobs. They like to pretend it's like immigrants who came to this country and can't get any other jobs. My friends, immigrants hold some of the highest paying tech jobs in our country. A lot of minority groups do, but they are trying to make it seem like everybody's washing dishes with four kids at home. It just ain't true. And lots of companies have upwards mobility. But unfortunately, the Democrats killed that upward mobility when they put in the minimum wage increase, because what it did was it led to more people getting fired and more people on the unemployment line and more robots doing the jobs. Lots more to discuss as the show continues. This is Ari sitting in for John on Talk Radio 570 KVI. I can't listen to that song without thinking of Chris Farley and Patrick Swayze on Saturday Night Live in the Chippendale skit, because that's the song they're playing during that. Man, that is one of the all-time best skits Saturday Night Live ever did. It really, really is. If you haven't seen it, just type in Chris Farley, Patrick Swayze on the YouTube. It'll come up right away. Let's do some good news today. There's been enough depressing news in politics, so this one comes from the Good News Network. Despite hundreds of scientific illustrations, no one knew for sure what a saber-toothed cat actually look like. As is sometimes the case, Siberian prospectors looking for mammoth tusks, likely illicitly, have uncovered another incredible mammal frozen in permafrost, in this instance, a saber-toothed kitten. Belonging to the species Homotherium latidens, paleontologists at the Russian Academy of Sciences published a paper describing it, in which they introduced the world to the first real image of a saber-toothed cat. It looks nothing like the one in the animated shows. It looks nothing like it. And they've picked out a variety of interesting details. For decades, images produced, according to fossilized bones, have assumed that the lone saber-like teeth grew down out of the animal's mouth. But this guy's lips are twice as deep as other species of saber-toothed cats. This suggests the teeth may have been completely concealed. Other details, like muscular proportions and small foot pads, as well as the completely unexpected color of the beast's fur, because they found this guy frozen with his fur, have presented the full picture of an animal that evolved in an environment and for hunting methods that have no modern parallel. The limbs, too, were larger. In general, this guy had short-bodied with long limbs, and the mummified cubs were around 23% longer than a lion cub. During the last ice age, huge animals trampled and grazed on plants, particularly shrubs and trees, meaning that, much like today's savannas, it would have made the most sense for a predator that hunted juvenile and elderly members of the species, including mammoths, to blend into the grasses. So, this is really fascinating. Now that movie Ice Age, out the window. That Dennis Leary character, completely gone.
Yeah.
Look nothing like this sucker here. This looks more like a woolly mammoth than anything else. It's a shaggy-looking critter, that's for sure. Meanwhile, I saw this study, and I couldn't believe it. Don't tell my kids. According to the Good News Network at the University of Houston, online video gamers are the focus for a new paper on productivity at work, and the results may not be what you expect. The paper reports that, contrary to popular belief, massively multiplayer online gamers have their skills in the workplace enriched by those seemingly endless hours of erroneously thought as frittering time away. GNN has reported many times on the benefits of video games to various forms of cognition, but this is the first study that's looked at directly with professional workers. Whether they know it or not, companies are already hiring an enormous amount of multiplayer online gamers, and now they have discovered that this creates more teamwork. Online gaming often gets a bad reputation, but our study reveals a different story. We found that gaming can actually help people develop valuable workplace skills, including problem solving, teamwork, leadership, and even self-confidence. Our research shows that gaming, when done in moderation, can be a way for people to grow both personally and professionally. All right. I need to dig into the data of this video game study to see if this is actually true. I mean, me and my friends would hang out and play video games together, and I don't think it really helped our teamwork, but okay, sure. They said the purpose of the study was to examine an understudied but prevalent part of the non-work domain to understand if and how these online gaming players positively enriches employees' work domain. I'm definitely going to have to drill down onto the data on this one before believing it. But if it is true, all those times they tried to ban video games because they're violent or whatever, you are
detracting from your own workforce, my friends. Look at how much more productive society would have been if you guys hadn't tried to ban Halo and Doom and Gears of War and all the other violent games like Duke Nukem when we were kids. You remember that insanity? It was one after another, always trying to ban the video games. Well, my friends, that's going to about wrap it up for us today. But I will be back this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. with more insane stories, more exciting guests, and, of course, our good news giveaway. You've been listening to Ari Hoffman in for John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.